breeze, Sazed said, looking out over the city. Ash was falling. It always did these days. I do not wish to speak of these things.
What?
Breeze asked. How can that be?
If there were a god, Breeze, Sazed said, do you think he'd have let so many people be killed by the Lord Ruler? Do you think he'd have let the world become what it is now? I will not teach you, or anyone, a religion that cannot answer my questions. Never again.
Breeze fell silent. Sazed reached down, touching his stomach. Breeze's comments pained him. They brought his mind back to that terrible time a year before when Tyndall had been killed. When Sazed had fought Marsh at the Well of Ascension and had nearly been killed himself. Even through his clothing he could feel the scars on his abdomen, where Marsh had hit him with a collection of metal rings, piercing Sazed's skin and nearly killing him. He'd drawn upon the ferrochemical power of those very rings to save his life, healing his body, engulfing them within him. Soon after, however, he'd stored up some health and then had a surgeon remove the rings from his body. Despite Vin's protests that having them inside him would be an advantage, Sazed was worried that it was unhealthy to keep them embedded in his own flesh. Besides, he had just wanted them gone. Breeze turned to look out the window.
You were always the best of us, Sazed, he said quietly, because you believed in something.
I am sorry, Lord Breeze, Sazed said. I do not mean to disappoint you.
Oh, you don't disappoint me, Breeze said, because I don't believe what you've said. You're not meant to be an atheist, Sazed. I have a feeling you'll be no good at it. Doesn't suit you at all. You'll come around eventually.
Sazed looked back out the window. He was brash for a terraceman, but he did not wish to argue further.
I never did, thank you, Breeze said.
For what, Lord Breeze?
For pulling me out of myself, Breeze said. For forcing me to get up a year ago and keep going. If you hadn't helped me, I don't know that I would ever have gotten over what happened.
Sazed nodded. On the inside, however, his thoughts were more bitter.
Yes, you saw destruction and death, my friend. But the woman you love is still alive. I could have come back too, if I hadn't lost her. I could have recovered as you did.
The door opened. Sazed and Breeze both turned. A solitary aide entered, bearing an ornate sheet of parchment. King Lekal had signed the treaty at the bottom. His signature was small, almost cramped in the large space allotted. He knew he was beaten. The aide set the treaty on the table, then retreated. Each time Rashik tried to fix things, he made them worse. He had to change the world's plants to make them able to survive in the new, harsh environment. Yet that change left the plants less nutritious to mankind. Indeed, the falling ash would make men sick, causing them to cough like those who spent too long mining beneath the earth. And so Rashik changed mankind itself as well, altering them so that they could survive. 5. Elland knelt beside the fallen Inquisitor, trying to ignore the mess that was left of the thing's head. Vin approached, and he noted the wound on her forearm. As usual, she all but ignored the injury. The Kolos army stood quietly on the battlefield around them. Elland still wasn't comfortable with the idea of controlling the creatures. He felt tainted by even associating with them. Yet it was the only way.
Something's wrong, Elland, Vin said.
He looked up from the body.
What? You think there might be another one around?
She shook her head.
Not that. That Inquisitor moved too quickly at the end. I've never seen a person, Allomancer or not, with that kind of speed.
He must have had Duralumin, Elland said, looking down. For a time, he and Vin had held an edge, since they'd had access to an allomantic metal the Inquisitors hadn't known about. Reports now indicated that edge was gone. Fortunately, they still had Electrum. The Lord Ruler was to be thanked for that, actually. Poor man's Atium. Normally, an Allomancer who was burning Atium was virtually invincible. Only another Allomancer burning the metal could fight him. Unless, of course, one had Electrum. Electrum didn't grant the same invincibility as Atium, which allowed an Allomancer to see slightly into the future, but it did make one immune to Atium.
Elland, Vin said, kneeling. It wasn't Duralumin. The Inquisitor was moving too quickly even for that.
Elland frowned. He had seen the Inquisitor move only out of the corner of his eye, but surely it hadn't been that fast. Vin had a tendency to be paranoid and assume the worst. Of course, she also had a habit of being right. She reached out and grabbed the front of the corpse's robe, ripping it free. Elland turned away.
Vin, have respect for the dead.
I have no respect for these things, she said, nor will I ever. Did you see how that thing tried to use one of its spikes to kill you?
That was odd. Perhaps he felt he couldn't get to the axes in time.
Here, look.
Elland glanced back. The Inquisitor had the standard spikes, three pounded between the ribs on each side of the chest. But there was another one Elland hadn't seen in any other Inquisitor corpse, pounded directly through the front of this creature's chest.
Lord Ruler, Elland thought. That one would have gone right through its heart. How did it survive?
Of course, if two spikes through the brain didn't kill it, then one through the heart probably wouldn't either. Vin reached down and yanked the spike free. Elland winced. She held it up, frowning.
Pewter, she said.
Really? Elland asked.
She nodded.
That makes 10 spikes. 2 through the eyes and 1 through the shoulders, all steel. 6 through the ribs, 2 steel, 4 bronze. Now this, a pewter one, not to mention the one he tried to use on you, which appears to be steel.
Elland studied the spike in her hand. In Allomancy and Ferrochemy, different metals did different things. He could only guess that for Inquisitors, the type of metal